Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Tracy, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community here at Oak Creek Assembly of God in Oak Creek, Wisconsin.
I brought gifts with me tonight. I brought the easy gifts, like the lazy gifts, like the ones that you don't actually wrap. Do I have gift basket people out here? I feel like for a child who gets a toy in a gift bag, it's just like someone didn't care. Because the joy is in, it's in the tearing, it's in the ripping. It's in the ripping of the experience that makes you feel that you're alive. It reminds you that good things are happening. And so this week in my house, a lot of the late nights have been spent wrapping presents. The thing that's unique about the season is very few of the presents are from me or from Mandy, because all of our family lives out of town. We're not traveling for Christmas this year. And so what's been arriving at our house daily are Amazon boxes and Target boxes. And I mean, for if you are someone who's a green person, the amount of boxes is just ridiculous, because it's always like there's a toy in a box, inside a box, inside a box. And then tomorrow, the next box comes, and it's a lot of boxes. So what's been happening in my house is that after the kids go to bed, we'll put something on the TV to watch, and I will sit there on the floor, and I will wrap the present that someone else bought for my children. My sister from Missouri, she actually went as far as to send a box from Amazon with the toys and a roll of wrapping paper in the box, which is, it's cute, but it's also a little bit like, hey, thanks for buying my kids toys and me a homework assignment. But I love a good gift. I love a good gift. And so I've brought gifts here with me tonight, and I want to share these three gifts with you. And I'm going to start off here with this first one. This first one is something that means a lot to me and will maybe not mean very much to you. And I'll explain it to you here in just a second why. See, like there's no ripping. I just like lifted it out. Like, where is the fun in this? So what I have here, this blue, I don't even know what it's called. Is it like a juice glass or something? It's just an odd size, because we wouldn't have any glass like this in our house. And this isn't from my house. This is a gift that I got from my grandparents, who are now in heaven. And so this glass came from my maternal grandmother. Her name was Eleanor Davis. And she's someone who I knew very well, someone who passed away maybe just 10 years ago, but someone who I grew up with. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. And in the years that I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, my grandma and grandpa lived in a city called Sun City, Arizona. If you've never lived in the area, if you're not familiar, it's a very unique city. It was designed by this famous city planner named Del Webb. And he created this city back in the 60s, 70s to be a city of only retired people. So you have to actually be 55 or older to live, to have a residence in that city. It is the only city in America where a golf cart is a legal vehicle on any street. And to a kid, it's just like this playland. The whole city is filled with parks and swimming pools and golf courses and bowling alleys, because it's designed for this kind of lifestyle. And so we would always love going to visit grandma and grandpa in Sun City, Arizona, and spending the night there. And where this glass comes from is, for breakfast each morning, grandma would make her famous sourdough pancakes. She'd make those pancakes, and then she would serve us orange juice in these little glasses. And I am not a hoarder. I am not the person who keeps a bunch of like sentimental things, despite the story I'm telling right now. Like, I'm not that person, but I make very rare exceptions. And this is one of those exceptions, where there's a print of a flower on here, and I can feel that with my fingers as I'm holding it right now. And even like touching it, like, pulls me back into that space. Like, I can remember that she had a glass top table. And so when you would set the little juice glass down on the glass top table, it would make that little clink noise, and it just felt really classy. And I can do that, and she's not here anymore, and I have this. And I have come to terms with the fact that it's a glass. I was nervous enough bringing it here tonight because I have this fear that it will break and that I will lose this, you know, like one item that I have from my grandparents. And that's okay. I understand that the glass is not my grandparents, but it's the symbol of my grandparents. And I'm okay with this, but please don't walk up on stage afterwards. But it's a very meaningful gift to me. It is something that brings me peace in my heart because of the people that it reminds me of. The reason that I address people as friend or friends is because my grandpa did that every single time he saw people. If I go into a bathroom here at the church and there's like water spilled on the sink, I will grab a paper towel and I will clean it up. I will pick up a paper towel off the floor as I'm walking through the building because my grandpa taught me to always leave a place better than you found it. And those people are in me and I don't have them, but I have this, and this is important to me because it points me towards them. I want to talk tonight about a gift that Jesus said that he would give to all of us. If you turn to John chapter 14, in your Bibles or your Bible apps, John 14, and I'm going to start reading in verse 27. Jesus says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid." When we get to John chapter 14, Jesus is moving quickly towards the cross. If you think about the timeline of Jesus' life, if you read it, it moves rather quickly. The first 30 years of his life in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke are both just two chapters long, and then we move on really quickly. But for him, it would not have been experienced this way because for him, 30 years was 30 years. And in the first 30 years of Jesus' life, all we really know is we know that he was the son of a carpenter. We know that he was Mary's son. We know that he was an older brother to younger siblings. We know that he spent a lot of time in the synagogue with time with religious leaders. And that's about all we know. And for us, it can feel like that it moved really quickly, but for him, it wouldn't have, because for him, it was 30 years. And 30 years is a long time. I can imagine that during those 30 years, Jesus had lazy days, restful days, days that seemed to drag a little bit. And then at the end of those 30 years, his mom invites him to come with him to a wedding, and mom pressures him into this first miracle where he turns water into wine. And it's like the timeline just flips and the speed just starts moving at a rapid pace. And the next 3 years of Jesus' life, I can only imagine, felt much more like 6 months because things are moving. They are moving quickly. He's always traveling from one place to the next. People are for him. People are against him. There are certain cities he's walking into, and people are waving palm branches and throwing out robes. And at the exact same time, there are people who are actively plotting his murder. And as things are moving, I want you to imagine it as one of those moving sidewalks at the airport where Jesus is on this moving sidewalk and he sees the cross. Everyone else is surprised of where this story is going to go, but Jesus is not surprised. He knows exactly where he's going. He is on the moving sidewalk. He is moving close to the cross. And in this moment in John chapter 14, he sees the end of the line is coming. He knows it. And in one of the last recorded conversations that we have with Jesus before Palm Sunday and Passover, Good Friday and the crucifixion, Jesus says, "I have a gift for you." But because of this gift, because of the timing of this gift, this is not a regular gift. This is not a birthday gift or a wedding gift or a graduation gift. The gift that Jesus is giving us is a farewell gift. It is him saying, "I'm about to leave, and as I'm about to leave, I have something to give you." And here's the thing. Farewell gifts are not additions. They are substitutions. If I had the choice today to have this glass or to have a conversation with my grandparents, I would choose my grandparents. It's very easy because they are the real thing. And when you get a farewell gift, you are always losing something. It is not an addition. It is a substitution. But there is a gift that Jesus gave us as he left. And that's our second gift of tonight. And the second gift is the gift that Jesus gave us. It was his farewell gift. And the gift he gave us was peace, which is kind of fascinating that the gift he gives is peace of mind and heart. And it almost doesn't make sense because if you think about it, what we learned over the last 2 weeks is he is the peace. If you put yourself back in the moment of the shepherd's field and the angels are appearing, singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men, they are saying there wasn't peace here, but now peace has arrived. This is the person of peace. Jesus is here. He is the Prince of Peace, and he's here. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but I have a substitute for you. I have a farewell gift to give you as I leave. And yes, I have brought peace to the earth, but I am also going to leave it here with you when I go. There's two things that he lists to us in that verse. He says, peace of mind and peace of heart. I think about the anxieties that we carry with us in our minds of the busy to-do lists. I stayed up too late last night, and I woke up really early this morning, and it wasn't great. And so I got home, and Mandy was so gracious, and I said, hey, can I just go lay down for 20 minutes? And it's just a really terrible joke, because for me to convince myself that I'm actually going to be able to fall asleep on a Wednesday at 4:30, like, there's just no way. It's not going to happen. My brain is too active. I'm thinking about too many things. I'm thinking about whether or not the gift bags match on stage. And so nevertheless, there are many times for myself where I'm going to lay down, and those to-do lists are just kicking back and forth. And that anxiety that lands into our minds is something that God cares greatly about. He cares so greatly about it that when he left this earth, he left something for you, for the stress of your mind, for the anxiety of your mind. He also says that his peace will be a peace for your heart, for your emotions. I think people will show that the holidays are a season with lots of emotions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That there are moments where you might be in a full room with people that you love very much, and you might feel that emotional high of, wow, I love my grandma, or this is amazing, or my friends, I finally get to see you, or this sweet potato casserole is incredible. And we have these emotional high moments, and they might be just about 3 seconds away from very emotional low moments where a conversation doesn't go well, where a relationship that was strained seems to strain even further, and you feel broken and separated, and you look online and you see friends who look like their pumpkin pie turned out just perfectly, and you're sitting at home going, I didn't get to see this person because of COVID this year, and I just feel really, really, really alone. And Jesus says, I have to leave, but I'm not taking my peace with me. I am leaving my peace here for you, that you would have peace in your mind. And here's the amazing thing about the peace of God is that he gave the peace of God a name, and the name is the Holy Spirit. So I want to jump back to the verse that we started on, and I want to jump 2 verses earlier. So jumping back in John chapter 14 to verses 25 and 26. He says, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, or you could use the word substitute, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. I was 7, 8 years old at a campground up in northern Arizona on a night where they were praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my mom said, hey, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, she didn't say hey, because my mom never says hey. And I was like 7. And I said, absolutely not. That looks terrifying. People were speaking in other tongues. There was lots of yelling and shouting. It was what most Pentecostal churches were in the 80s, and it was terrifying. And I said, no, I would not like that. And she said, well, you know, could we just go up and just pray? I was like, yes, I like praying. I love Jesus. I could do that. And I remember being at that altar with my hands held high for a very long period of time and just praying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And then at some point during mid-sentence, I realized I wasn't speaking English any longer and that God had granted me a heavenly language and more than just a parlor trick. His Holy Spirit had filled me, which is a life-altering transition from a before to an after. My relationship with the Holy Spirit is daily strength. As I'm kind of opening myself to the stresses of my own day, I can tell you that when I pulled in the parking lot tonight, I still just needed a moment. And so here about an hour and a half ago, I pulled in the parking lot and I went out far where no one would see me and think I was, you know, weird. And just sat there with the Holy Spirit and took 10 minutes and got into the place that I needed to be in tonight to do what God's called me to do and to be connected to God. And I am so grateful that Jesus didn't leave us alone. He left us his peace and he gave his peace a name. And the name is the Holy Spirit. In this verse, he tells us that the Holy Spirit will accomplish two things. He says that he will teach us and he will remind us. And I love the teaching because I am not done learning, and so I need someone to not be done teaching. You know, the words of Christ are written in stone. They are written in red and your scripture, and they are everlasting. And so they're always going to be the words of Christ. But I am human, and I'm in need of a daily teacher. I am in need of someone to help coach me through the complicated situations that I might face, to coach me through the application of Jesus's teaching, and to be my companion in that. And the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He is someone who is going to bring the word of God to life to you, someone who is going to allow wisdom to be growing inside of you, that I don't want to be the person I was 2 years ago or 2 minutes ago. I want to be this growing student of the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit is my teacher. The Holy Spirit also reminds us. And so what does he remind us of? He reminds us that the work is done. You know, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, and as we walk through a very contemporary modern world, it can be really easy to forget, to feel very distant from this person named Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, don't forget. Don't forget. I am with you. He has purchased your salvation. The work is done. You are washed clean. You are part of the family of God. And I am with you. And the Holy Spirit reminds us. I want to jump to the end of this chapter here, right before Jesus wraps up the conversation. And so in John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus says, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. And I am in awe of that kind of peace, that he is riding the moving sidewalk straight towards his death, towards an unthinkable amount of suffering for you and for me. And he says, come, let's be going. Let's keep this moving. Let's do what God has called us to do. Let's be the people that God has called us to be. And in the storm, in the stress, have peace. And have a companion, have an advocate working on our behalf. The interesting thing that's said in that first verse is he says, I will give you the gift that the world cannot give. And what he's saying, the peace is going to come from me. It can't come from the world. And the reason it can't come from the world is because the world doesn't have it. You cannot give something that you don't have. I cannot give my kids $1 million for Christmas because I don't have $1 million to give. I also cannot give them joy if I am not filled with joy. I cannot give them a house that is filled with love if I am not filled with love. I cannot give them a house that is filled with peace if I am not filled with peace. And so if we believe as Christians that we cannot give what we do not have, then I think we must also believe that what we do have, we must give. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are those who work for peace. God will bless those who work for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called And I love this. This is my favorite name. The children of God. And for you, that if you are part of the kingdom, if you are part of the family, then you are part of a family of gift givers. You are part of a family. Your dad is one of the best gift givers of all time. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Your God, your dad, is an amazing gift giver. And if you are part of the family, then that means you're going to have the same receding hairline. And it also means that you're going to be a gift giver too. So gift number three is going to be a little disappointing for you tonight because it's empty. Because this is your gift to fill. If we are to be peacemakers, if we are to be people who are passing on peace, then this room should be filled with phenomenal gift givers, of people who say, I was given something I did not deserve. I was given a gift of peace from the Prince of Peace himself. And if he has given that to me, I am overflowing with this ability. And what can I do but imitate my Father and pass on peace to each other? I think a great moment of potential and creativity in our night tonight, and for the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts tonight, would be to allow the Holy Spirit space for him to lighten up our creativity and allow to give us inspiration for a gift of peace that we could give during the next 2 weeks, of a action or a deed of peacemaking that he would inspire us to give. I think every single one of us has a relationship in our life that is broken. I think every one of us has a relationship in our life that we could be very tempted to give up on, to say, there's no way, it's never going to be more than it is broken and unfixable. And I am so thankful that my God never viewed me that way. And I think he challenges us to be gift givers of peace and to say, you know what? If my God didn't give up on me, I'm not giving up on someone else, and I'm going to offer them a gift of peace. This might be someone who you don't know at all. This might be the person that you run into at Starbucks in the morning. This might be a monetary gift that you can offer. It might be a gift of your time. It might be a gift of your language, of words of encouragement. It might be any number of things. But I think that if we lean into this, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, that he will allow us the honor of being imitators of God and to be peacemakers. So the first week we talked about the path of peace, and last week we talked about the person of peace, and I've saved the title to the very end of the sermon today, and today is about the purpose of peace. That God has sent this gift, not without an agenda. He had a goal. He had a goal. He wanted to win your affection, and then he wanted your overflow to win the affection of others. And just as the Holy Spirit is always pointing people to the Father, that we're doing the same and pointing people to the Father. I want to pray over you as we close tonight. I want to pray over your homes. I've got people in this room who have really crazy busy homes with lots of loud people. And then I've got people in this room who live alone and may have a lot of quiet space that may either be comforting or may be discouraging. And I want to pray for your homes over the next 2 weeks. And I want you to kind of ruminate on this thought of a gift of peace. I want you to think about it as you drive home from Life Together tonight and allow God to move something inside of you for him to help you think of a gift of peace that you could give in the next 2 weeks.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast. It's even better when we get to see you in person. You are invited to join us on Wednesday evenings here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people to discover and become who God has created them to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org.